Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Jonathan from Ruprecht Law.
And we've got John on the show again today to give you an update on the registration debacle. Now, last time you heard John talk about some of the obstacles, some of the things that the FAA might have to work around in order to actually pass registration. But in the last few days, we've heard some new compelling updates. DJI has joined the bandwagon, and now 3DR has too. But we're learning some new things, so we're going to hand the show over to John. Again, we really appreciate John's help. If you're looking for any legal help in the drone field, you definitely need to get a hold of John. And John, what is the best website, again, where they can find you, they can get in touch with you? I mean, I know you're all over Facebook, but where can they find you?
You can find me on my website at www.jrupreklaw.com.
Awesome, awesome. I know that might be a tough one to spell for some people out there. So how do you spell that whole thing for us?
You'd spell it Juliet Romeo Uniform Papa Papa Romeo Echo Charlie Hotel Tango Lima Alpha Whiskey.com.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you, John. And again, thank you to our sponsors, Multicopter Warehouse, where you can join the aerial revolution. And also, a big thanks to Go Professional Cases. Remember, if you need a case, use the code DRONEU15. All right, John, let's get into it. You've learned some new things. I'm really actually excited to hear what you've come up with, because last night you were blowing up my phone so much, my girlfriend was ready to slap me. So what have you learned?
Yes, I would say that the one major thing that I found to be very interesting is that under the regulations, okay, not under the regulations, I mean the enabling statutes, because going back to how this is all was created, okay, was Congress passes a law, the Federal Aviation Act, 1958, and in there they laid out the penalties, civil enforcement actions, what the FAA can and cannot do, and how they can go after you. Okay, and then if you dig down into those federal enabling statutes, there's a section 46301 in chapter 49 of the United States Code. Subsection B, okay, actually allows the FAA to go after individuals for flying an aircraft that is not registered, okay? And you're like, okay, so they do have the enforcement power to do that, but what do you think the maximum amount of punishment is for flying a drone that is unregistered? What do you think it is?
A cake in the face?
Not from the federal government.
Oh, dang.
They'd probably just make you pay for it, and then they'd cake you in the face because it's your tax dollars at work, right? They would make you pay for it, or all of your friends pay for it, and then they'd cake you in the face. So it's punishable by up to 3 years in federal prison and a criminal fine up to $250,000.
No way.
That's a potential. Now, will they do that? Not exactly sure. And then also, if you are a licensed pilot, I was just going through the FAA's their enforcement documents on how they handle matters, and I believe it's actually a 90 to 120 day pilot suspension is what actually happens. So you could have potentially prison time. I don't think they would do that. I think that's a little crazy. But they would definitely come after you for some type of fine. Now, this is going to be the criminal type of stuff. This is if it's over $50,000, the Department of Justice actually has to handle that. And then that's probably separate from the FAA pulling your pilot's license. So there's some serious consequences if this actually goes into – well, I wouldn't say it even goes into effect. This already is the law, by the way. I just want to clarify, because under Part 47, you're required to register your drone aircraft. So if you have like a 333 right now and you're trying to operate, you have to have that registered. The FAA could come after you for flying an unregistered aircraft. I believe even the Skypan case, he's getting cited for violating that statute. Now, will they come after you criminally? In Skypan, the FAA, it didn't look like they were trying to move forward or get the DOJ to go forward with any type of criminal punishment. It just looked like it was just a fine of some sort. So it just might be fines for now.
That's very interesting, though, that you make the point on registration, because we know with the Perker case that they've defined drones as aircraft, or they define them as aircraft in the Perker case, but so many people have been saying, well, you know, what about model aircraft? What about UAS being defined as model aircraft? I mean, even if you go to the FAA's website, I think it's faa.gov/UAS/initiatives, and it says model aircraft. So, well, I mean, do you think that could provide gray area, or do you think this is kind of set in stone? And what I mean is the law in correlation to the definition of drones as aircraft.
That's a really big question. Try to simplify it. It depends on if you want to take that up to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals or to the United States Supreme Court and fight it up, because the NTSB Appeals Court was the one that actually said that you know, drones were aircraft, just reading the enabling statute as well as the regulation, just of 1.1, FAR 1.1. So they came up with that. If you go to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, you might be able to argue and have them agree with you differently that the FAA is acting in an arbitrary and capricious manner to now start regulating model aircraft who had not been regulated for a really long period of time. So you could try to argue that. Will you win? Not exactly sure on that. You could then appeal that up to the United States Supreme Court. And will they take your case? Probably not. It's not really that important in the grand scheme of things. There's other more important things like Fourth Amendment, you know, search and seizure type of stuff that they have a little bit more concern for. So
let's talk about Skypan then for a second, because Skypan, who I did see that the FAA was coming after them for not having a registered aircraft. But what are the arguments that Skypan is using against against the FAA? I mean, do you think that they could use that egregious nature, that what you just said?
Well, the whole situation with Skypan is really interesting. So I'm just, let me pop up the I'm popping up right here the enforcement action, the letter that the FAA sent to them, because they're being violated for flying in Class B without a clearance multiple times. I think they actually listed out all these GPS coordinates, all the flights and stuff that the Skypan had flown in Chicago as well as New York. And so that's one of the charges. You also have the FAA saying they were flying in a careless and reckless manner. They flew in Class Bravo airspace without a transponder, without two-way radio contact. So they're fighting them for multiple violations of the regulations. Registration is just one little point of it, and the FAA was very careful and calculated in how they went after them with a spaghetti at the walls tactic, because Perker was just careless and reckless. That was the only issue. Salvadowski was flying in Class B without clearance and careless and reckless. This one's, if they really want to do it right and do a prosecution right, this is how I would have done it if I was the FAA. I would have thrown all of these at them because they're hard to disprove. So not that they have to disprove, you know, prove their innocence, if you will. But the FAA is going to, you know, make some arguments saying, hey, well, where is, you know, your registration? You didn't have a registration. And then they can use the database as evidence against them under the federal rules of evidence. You can admit that because the absence of evidence in a regularly kept type of database actually is evidence. Normally, you know, when you have an argument saying, hey, absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence, right? You can't just say, well, we don't have anything, therefore it's not the case. But when you have something that's regularly kept in the course of business, such as a registration database, then you could, because everyone else registered, you didn't. Interesting. Yeah. You know, right?
Yeah.
So the FAA could come after them for that. But then also, if you look in the regulations here, Part 91, the very, very front of it, actually listed out that it applies to, I believe, individuals operating on board an aircraft. And that whole argument was never fully fleshed out during the Perker case. Even though Shulman raised it, the upper NTSB court never fully addressed that. So they determined for purposes of CFR 1.1 that drones were aircraft, but for Part 91, a different section of the regulation, they didn't determine whether or not it was operating in a careless manner, because they actually remanded the case back down to Judge Garrity to determine whether it was careless and reckless. There needed to be an initial proof, like an initial step before that, for Garrity to say, well, is this even applicable? Is 91.13 even applicable here? Because careless and reckless is only for what's applicable in 91.1. So there's going to be a lot of gamesmanship going on here when it comes to doing the research and getting digging down deep into the regulations and finding out what's going on. So
interesting. All right. So I have a question for you. Going back to the registration, the press conference that we saw earlier this week, now there is a 15-day comment period. And as I'm looking up all the links that I had seen to make a comment, it looks like there is no online ability to make a comment on
there is a website. No, go to regulations.gov. That's the website that is, it's actually run by the EPA, and that's what a lot of the equivalent of like the Federal Register. So the docket's put up there. If you want to have any type of comments, you're going to go in there, and then you can post. And so if you want the ID, it's FAA-2015-4378. So FAA-2015-4378, and you can get in there, and you can actually you should be able to comment coming up here. So I know that I'm actually looking at it right now. There's a comment button. It's like blue. It says comment now.
Yeah.
Hit that button, and then you put in what you want. It says comment, then below that, upload file. So what you could do is the real intelligent way, if you want to come up with something really nice, is you could actually come up with a nice Word PDF document, and then you could just attach the file, put your name. You don't have to. You can anonymously post, and then that will be all reviewed by this working group that's working on registration. So anybody that's interested in commenting on over there, I would highly suggest that you appeal to the FAA with data, statistics, legal arguments, not a feelings. Feelings is a bad way to really argue, because, like, I don't really care about your feelings. Neither does the FAA. No, right?
You don't care about my feelings, John?
I mean, okay, great. I didn't go to your birthday party. Ooh, I was really, like, what? Like, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to invite you to my birthday party. I don't care, man. The FAA doesn't care. So if you're wanting to actually make an argument that say that this is a bad idea, then actually legally think it out. Come up with some math arguments or statistics or something. Come up with actual objective data that they can look at. So on my blog post, there's a couple arguments there that are something they need to actually consider with the maximum number of in-number combinations.
I think I want to hear these arguments, John, so just go hit us with the three arguments.
there's actually quite a few arguments. I had 11 total problems with drone registration. So, I mean, yeah, they can get around the where's the money issue, because you could just go get more money from DOT or ask for it. Okay, yeah, but now you're creating more federal bloat. But I'd say the two real big arguments in the room that they have to overcome is that in Part 47 of the regulations, the way that the drones are registered is prescribed in the regulations. It's like locked into time. The FMRA that was passed back in 2012 under Section 336 prevents the creation of any regulation that would affect model aircraft, and it lists out in the FMRA what is defined as a model aircraft per the FMRA. Well, this mandatory drone registration is definitely going to implicate model aircraft. So the FAA is prohibited from creating, that's the key verb right there, any regulations for model aircraft going forward. However, that fMRI does not prohibit the use of regulations that are already in place. So these laws that I just told you about, 3 years and $250,000 fine, that's law that's already in place that has been passed by Congress. Okay, the regulations to have a registered aircraft, you know, one may operate a drone aircraft without it being registered, that's already in place. Those are laws. Okay.
So, but how does that, don't those two things contradict one another?
But how so?
Well, they're saying that you can't promulgate any rules against model aircraft, and they're trying to register model aircraft, but the prior law says all aircraft need to be registered.
Well, you're kind of picking up on it, that the FAA is going to, strictly reading the 336 out of the FMRA, you can't create laws that regulate model aircraft. It didn't say you could use already existing laws to regulate aircraft, model aircraft. So, so that's a distinction there. No new, you can still use old. Actually, a really better way to put it is they did not prohibit the use of the old. They prohibit the creation of new, not the use of the old.
Do you think if members or any of our listeners were to go on regulations.gov and look up FAA 2015-4378, that they could write down, hey, back in 2012 in the FMRA in section 336, you said you cannot promulgate any rules against model aircraft, and here you're doing it, so why are you doing it? Do you think that's a solid argument to make in these comments?
Oh, yeah, I think that would be. I think that would be an argument, because they that's what they're doing. They're effectively going against Section 336 of the FMRA. So I would highly suggest everybody just don't go off of what I say. Go read the FMRA. I guess we could put a link to it in the show notes, and just everyone read it. Like, stop trying to rely on everyone else. Go read it at the end of the day and know it that well. So that you can actually have an educated response. I mean, we're coming up here on the weekend, right? So everyone over the weekend could put something together and say, hey, there's some serious problems with this, because you're doing something that was prohibited by Congress. Furthermore, if you want to change the in numbers, if you will, then you're going to have an interesting issue there, because the total number of combinations is actually 1,156,000. So it's around 1.2 million combinations. If we have to register all the drones going forward and all the drones going backward, we're going to exhaust that supply. The only way to really mitigate that would be that every 3 years, the drones have to be re-registered under the regulations. Now, these are all parts of the regulations that are locked in time. Everyone go read Part 47. And so if they're going to try to change how the in numbers database, I mean, how the in numbers are done, they're violating the FMRA. If they are going to be saying, hey, we have to re-register every year, they're going to violate the FMRA, because that's actually another part of the regulations that says every 3 years. So that's why this is like a really sticky situation for them, because the FMRA is going to cause all sorts of issues. So let's say even they can somehow satisfy the FMRA and move forward, then the FAA is going to have to follow the rulemaking process. So the FAA is going to have to, it's notice and comment. So it kind of looks like they've already done the notice period here, which I'm not even exactly sure how this works, because it looks like an aviation rule committee. I don't even know how it works internally, how this jives with what's normally done internally, because the FAA has a rulemaking manual, and there's a certain way they go about doing this. It looks like they kind of just skipped a lot of this, or they had secretly been planning this for quite a while. Anyways, it doesn't really matter how it goes on internally with the FAA. The FAA is going to have to publish these rules at some point here, and it looks like that's going to be, what, in December? They're just requesting comments right now on drone registration. At December, they've published the rules. Is this going to be a notice of proposed rulemaking, okay, like what just happened back in February with Part 107 and the proposed commercial drone rules, or is this actually an emergencies rule? If it's a proposed rule, then it's also going to have to go over to the Department of Transportation. They're going to have to sign off. Then it's going to have to go to the Office Management Budget. They have to approve it. It's going to have to go to the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. There's going to be some potential acts that are implicated here, like Privacy Act, because you're going to be gathering data. So I believe OMB is going to have to do a study on that. So that's kind of some of the questions they're asking in the in the request for comments right now. And that thing is going to have to go through that whole entire process in order before it to become a rule. Now, if they don't go through that whole process, you could have an issue where the law could the regulation could get overturned potentially later because it violated the Administrative Procedures Act or one of the other many acts. So it might not be able to survive judicial review. Okay, that's one avenue, the traditional rulemaking route. Well, the other way to do it is you could do a direct final rule under the FAA's emergency authority. So under Section 553, the Administrative Procedures Act, the FAA has the ability to actually directly promulgate a rule if it's impractical. Impractical would be like an emergency situation. You can't go through this giant rigmarole if something is immediately affecting national airspace right now. So if this is an emergency, then it should be getting done immediately, promulgated, not a 15-day wait period, not a grace period to allow people to register the drones later on. So that's going to set this regulation up potentially for getting shut down at a court later on if there's a lawsuit. So would anybody pick a fight right now and try to get this this blocked? I don't know if there's anybody that has the cash that would want to do this. What would happen is when this proposed regulation comes out, the FAA would go after somebody. Let's say Skypan 2. Okay, then that's when his defense attorney would actually argue that this would be like an illegally created law and it's unenforceable, and then therefore it should be thrown out. We want that charge thrown out, Your Honor. That's how that would probably get taken care of later on when someone actually has that being, you know, charged against them. And that's so
just
it's emergency, huh?
So just to summarize, it looks like, you know, if the FAA wants to create a registration base for drones, they're going to have a very difficult time, if I'm hearing you correctly. Number one, if I'm just clarifying, just to make sure that I'm hearing this right. Number one, because there are not enough N numbers. You said there's about 1.2 million N numbers. We know there's about 357,000 registered aircraft right now, which leaves us with about 800,000 or 900,000, registrations that are open. We know from DJI's sales and we know from 3D Robotics sales that there are well over 2 million drones already in the United States, and they say that they're going to sell over a million again this December. But so we see that there's a problem. There's not enough N numbers. And the next problem, it seems like, is that the FMRA law says you can't change the way that N numbers are created organized, because that's against the law. So how can they do this? Is there what is the, you know, you said the emergency route is one way they can go. Is that the only other route?
Well, there's also the traditional rulemaking route. Those
well, no,
are the
I
two
understand.
Ways they can go. So they can go either one of those ways. But that's if they still overcome the whole FMRA issue. So they still have to overcome FMRA argument, and then if they overcome that, then they're going to have to go either the emergency route. Well, it doesn't look like they're acting like it's an emergency right now, so that could potentially set them up for failure later on. Or if they go the rulemaking route, it's going to take a long time, and this isn't going to be out by December. So it's very difficult how this is done. The regulatory process is very organized, structured, and very lengthy. And it's like History Channel, where you see some guy that's like digging through the ruins and the layers of many, many civilizations. That's how the administrative law really kind of looks. Is because, I mean, the Federal Register Act was passed in 1934, way back when, actually. So, and it's actually interesting, the reasons behind the Federal Register Act coming into play was that the Civil Aviation Bureau, the, if you will, like the grandfather of the FAA at the time, they passed a bunch of regulations, and when there was a crash, There was a famous senator that died in the crash, and there was an investigation. So the Civil Aviation Bureau actually went after the, I believe it was American Airlines, and they responded saying, like, yeah, we didn't really even know it was in effect. The FAA saying this was in effect. And so out of that, the Federal Register Act came into being. And so part of the rulemaking process is you must publish the proposed rule that you're planning on making law at some point on the Federal Register so as to give everybody notice. It's like your legal daily newspaper, and I would highly suggest everyone get on regulations.gov, and that's your electronic form of the Federal Register, and actually read what's being published on there for whatever you're really interested in, EPA, DOT, NIH, all that. You know, they're all on there publishing stuff because they have regulations they're publishing. So if you have any interest, get on there, and that's how you can make your voice be heard, is you can comment on the proposed rules. That's how you can do it one way. You can also talk to your elected official and see if you can get them to put pressure on the agency. Now, they, if you will, don't have as much direct oversight as you. They don't have a lot, but however, the net effect is if you can get a couple of these guys start asking questions and causing problems, then the administrative agencies do listen to the representatives as well as the senators. Because if you tick off a representative enough, then if they really want to torque the agency, then the next time some money comes, the appropriations bills or whatever get passed, then the House could actually just take out a little, put a little section that says, hey, we don't want any funding going to blah, blah, blah until such and such a time. And you can actually irk them, you know, that way with funding. So there's multiple ways you can put pressure on an agency.
Gotcha. All right. Now, last question before we end this, because this is going to be a long podcast for everyone. What are your thoughts on DJI and 3D Robotics joining this task force? And more, and another, my follow-up question to that is, if you saw Brendan Schulman's comment on Twitter and on Facebook, he said, "We look forward to representing the interests of our customers." So what are you excited to see DJI and 3DR at the table? Or are you bummed that they hopped on the federal bandwagon? What do you think?
Well, I could say that looking at it objectively from both sides, I mean, the drone community does not want to have registration or geofencing. It's very onerous. However, at the same time, allowing those two things to go into force, at least geofencing being done on a voluntary basis, maybe with venue manufacturers, and the registration being done regulatorily wise, that could get the people off our back so as to preserve the community. And so, if that makes any sense, kind of like, hey, let's give some concessions right now so that they don't take away a lot of our freedoms and abilities later on because of some idiot flying a drone that hit an airliner. Now, is it going to take the airliner out? I think it's incredibly far out that would happen, but it would scare everybody like crazy, and then knee-jerk laws would get passed shutting down and making everything very difficult, where people could say, hey, well, we want to have everybody that's flying a model aircraft have at least some type of Part 107 pilot's license or something more, and start getting even more onerous with the type of regulation. So I can see that's maybe why they're doing it, is they're just trying to protect the interests of the community by saying we'll give a concession with registration, and then that would be at least maybe easier for some of them to do than geofencing. I'm not exactly sure, but I can see that's their point of view. At the moment, I'm still out on, I think, the best plan of attack for this, just from my own personal view. I'd rather just wait back and see, like, it approaches from a very slow, methodical method, but I think that's why 3DR and DJI approached it, is to continue to give concessions to allow people to continue to fly.
Gotcha. All right, well, I hope that they truly do represent the interests of drone flyers like myself, like you, John, and the community therein. So I really, really am excited for it. Now, guys, if you are listening, the time to act is now. You've heard it from John. You know some of the arguments. John, if they want to read more of those arguments that you wrote in your blog, can they find that at jrupertlaw.com?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you can just click the drone law blog at the top right. Perfect. And you can see that. You can also see my other previous blog posts. And then I would highly suggest everyone that in your posts and comments actually give educational, structured, well thought out comments, not this is stupid, I think you're dumb, blah blah blah, you can't come to my birthday party. Like, please, seriously, don't do that. You're just gonna make the drone community look like a bunch of idiots. And that's already kind of the stigma that the drone community already has. It's a bunch of these like bros that just fly out in the park and do whatever the crud they want. And you know, they're like the kind of the rogue, you know, hat sideways kind of.
Bro, let's go fly, man.
The FAA has no jurisdiction over my happiness.
Dude,
you know?
No one can control my feelings and freedom of flight, dude.
Right. So the FAA, or I mean the drone community already has that stigma, and I would highly suggest everyone don't go out knee-jerk, just stupid react. Don't do that. Just
don't go out and get. Don't go out and get upset. Just go surf. Just go ride.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, it's, I would just well thought out arguments. Let's go look at data. Let's go look at the legal arguments and actually ground your arguments in some type of objective fact, not feelings, okay? Fact, not feelings.
Yep. No, I agree. And, I have a lot of hopes for this community, John. I mean, we're talking about a very tech-savvy community. These guys do like to be educated. There is a lot of misinformation that's going around, but you can't blame the community. You can just blame certain websites and people that are cash-grabbing and money-grabbing. Anyway, guys, make sure you comment on that proposed registration. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. I'm also going to leave a link to John's website. John, thank you again so much for being on the show. We greatly appreciate it. And I hear that you're going to be on the show again talking about the different ways to vet drone lawyers, because we're learning that there is an industry inside of an industry, one that is just as problematic as the drone industry. Is that right?
Oh, yes, I can talk to you all about that one.
So we're going to have John more often talking to you guys, giving you the information that you need to know, the insider scoop on drone law. Because some lawyers are out there and they're saying, hey, I can get you a 333. All you got to do is come to my office and pay me thousands of dollars. When in all actuality, they haven't filed a 333 ever. And they may not even be licensed on the bar. So there are a lot of things that you need to know. And John is going to let us know about those. And John, let me just ask you a question. How many 333s have you put through now?
I think I have two today I have to file. If I get those done, I think I'm up to 37, I believe. 37.
Well, I think you might be at 38 by the end of next week, but we still have to talk about that. So anyway, guys, he is the guy that you want to go to. If you need legal advice, he really is the one to help you out. So make sure you check out his website, johnrupertlaw.com. He gave you the address spelled out in the beginning of the episode, so if you need it spelled out again, just rewind the episode. Again, guys, we really appreciate you as listeners. If it wasn't for you, we would not be number one in aviation. So thank you again so much for chiming in. Also, leave us your questions at askdroneu.com. We love hearing those questions. Again, so many typed up questions. I don't like reading, guys. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your passion. So make sure you upload those questions at Ask Drone You. That's going to do it for us today. John, thank you again for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
We love having you on here. My name is Paul. This is Ask Drone You.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.